In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and what's getting me through this week is a video game for the PlayStation 4. It's called Ghost of Tsushima. It is a really cool video game about samurais. You get to play a samurai. The island where he lives is overtaken by Mongols, and his uncle is kidnapped. So the whole premise of the game is he has to rescue his uncle. It's an open world game. So what happens is once you kind of learn the basics, you're basically slowly trying to reclaim the island and then pull together a group of different characters that are going to help you go on this mission to rescue your uncle. It's got a little bit of a Mass Effect 2 vibe where basically a lot of the game is spent recruiting characters and then you kind of go forth. But it's a lot of fun. Being a samurai is awesome. It's really interesting because they really reward you for being patient when you fight and not really kind of just throwing yourself in there. There's also a lot of other cool stuff that happens there. You're writing haikus as well. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's really fun. The story is really interesting. So, it's been a very enjoyable distraction throughout all this craziness.
And I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies. And what's getting me through this week, actually the last few weeks, is Perry Mason, which is the HBO 1930s detective show. It's a slow burn. And like I think a lot of people would call the first couple episodes boring as we got into we got to meet Matthew Reese's Perry Mason. He's this private detective. He's very unkempt, but he's very good at his job. And yeah, the whole 1930s thing is really kind of cool. And Tatiana Maslany is kind of this crazy religious figure. And there's baby napping and murder and, brothels and cussing. And there's a lot of, if you like noir and stuff, there's a lot to like. But it's interesting because this past episode finally got up to because I'm old enough to remember, at least in syndication, the old Raymond Burr Perry Mason show from I think the 50s or 60s. But it was a legal drama. So I really didn't know that Perry Mason started as a detective novel. But I like this. What the show does now is it's turning into, without giving, I guess it's kind of not a spoiler, but they're turning Perry Mason into a lawyer now. So now they're kind of bridging the gap between the detective novels and the Raymond Burr show that people remember. So it's kind of a slow burn, but it's really gotten good. And so I would recommend, if you haven't watched it yet, to watch it.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch TV. And first, I can inform you, Brian, that they just renewed it for season 2 today. I got the press release.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's good stuff.
And what's getting me through this week is just reading, and I'm reading a lot of books at once that I haven't finished because we're moving in a week. Woo! I won't be on the podcast next week. I'll be packing and or crying. So we're putting stuff in storage and we're moving in with family for a little while. And so I'm trying not to bring a million books to someone else's home. And I have 6 that are unfinished. And I started reading some gardening books, and I was reading there's this cool cookbook called The Food Lab by Kenji Lopez Alt, who is this scientific food writer and chef that is 900 pages textbook size. And I've been reading it for 2 years, and I'm I'm not bringing this giant book with me. It's so heavy. I gotta finish it. So it's a fun project. It is less messy than baking projects in quarantine. Books are great. So highly recommend it. reading. It's not just for kids.
Well, there you go. If this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be awesome if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us, and as a bonus, you get a shout-out on the next episode. So try it out. Everybody wins. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can send an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. Let's get to the main topic. So there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out on streaming services and whatnot. And, you know, we've all been watching and consuming a lot of different things. You know, a lot of it because there's a lot of fun stuff out there, but also because we're bored and we just need kind of something to get our minds off of all this mayhem. What we're going to talk about a little bit is some of the newer stuff that's come out, but also in the quest for finding ways to entertain ourselves during this pandemic, have we lowered our standards a little bit? Is the standards that we've set normally for the entertainment that we enjoy gotten lower because we're just trying to find some way to keep us occupied? So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And we'll talk about some of the things we've watched that we, for us anyway, we feel qualify. But let's start here. Have we let our tastes kind of go asunder with quarantine? Is the overall bar that we've set for ourselves for entertainment lower because we're just trying to find ways to distract ourselves?
I think sort of. I think a little bit. You know, I think one thing that I've started doing, which is not necessarily the healthiest habit ever, but, you know, it is what it is sort of when I log off from work and, you know, while I'm like cooking dinner or whatever, I'm just like turning on the TV because we live in like little silent bubbles, especially if you don't have kids. You know, like I listen to music while I work and there's no office noise. I'm not commuting with noise and stuff. So I'm just turning on the TV a lot more than I normally would, even as a TV critic. It's just like always on when I'm not working or we're not doing something together. But in lieu of happy hours and birthday parties and everything, it's just, you know, it just seems like the easiest way to like get some action going in the apartment. So I do think that when you're doing it that often, I'm not necessarily watching The Sopranos while I'm chopping vegetables. So what I'm watching has to be a little lower impact.
So Brian, what about you?
I've had an interesting run because I feel like especially social media, I feel like everybody's tastes have gotten lowered. But I will say for myself, I watch more movies now than I ever did before. Because I now do a weekly streaming guide because all the new movies are coming to streaming. So I'm getting some of the stuff that would have, the theatrical stuff that would have gone to streaming, but also a lot of this just stuff that would have gone to streaming just in general, just normally, which there's a lot of apparently. I never knew this, but there's a lot. So whereas, you know, on a normal week, let's say in a May or June, I would go to maybe two screenings like in a week or maybe three. I'm watching now like 8 or 9 movies a week at least in terms of things that are streaming or things that are coming. They're like, hey, watch this, it's going to come out in a few weeks, we want to know what you think. So I'm actually seeing a lot more now in addition to like the other stuff I'm watching. So I feel like my tastes have actually gone up a little bit because the more you watch of things, the more you're like, well, that's good, that's bad, just in general, because your tastes are more refined. So I feel like there's a lot of stuff where it's like when the Netflix, the Eurovision movie came out, and it was like, this is the biggest piece of shit Will Ferrell's ever done. And, you know, Twitter is like, this movie's great, it's what we needed right now. And I'm like, are you nuts? This movie's terrible. So I feel like it, for me, in a sense, you know, my tastes have like sharpened a little bit. I kind of know what I like a little bit more in this time frame, or like, you know, the things that are actually good kind of stand out more. Whereas there's a lot of just kind of like mediocre nonsense in there. Whereas I feel like maybe if I wasn't seeing as many movies, I wouldn't be as kind of hard on them in a way.
I think there is a little bit of that, your taste getting better. I think for, you know, myself, it's not, so much that I feel like the taste in what I watch is going down. I think I'm more broadening what I normally would watch and enjoy. So, you know, you sort of have that wheelhouse of shows or movies or whatever that you like and that you'd watch. But now I am finding myself watching things that I wouldn't have watched before, but I see it and then I become a little bit more invested in it now just because, you know, there's other stuff. There's just not a lot happening. So, which gets us to the next thing about kind of the stuff we've enjoyed in quarantine that we probably wouldn't have under normal circumstances. And so this is, like I said, this isn't a quality thing. This is a good show and I know a lot of people like it. It's not something I normally would have watched on my own, but then my wife started watching it and then I got a little bit invested in it, but it's The Great British Baking Show, which
that is quality.
Well, that's what I meant. It's good. A good show.
Good.
It's not so much that I'm gravitating to shows that I think are bad. It's more that a taste of, I wouldn't normally have watched it. So I saw my wife watching it. And at first I was like, oh, okay, she's watching that. I'll just be on my phone. And then the more I watched it, the more I'm like, oh, this show's kind of cool because everybody's nice and everybody's likable. And it's just, I don't know. I just feel like the demeanor of the show is much nicer than any other reality show. I think some of the reality shows in the US are kind of mean and petty sometimes. And I think they really push that. And I think it's just Great British Baking Show is just fun. It's cool that they've also taken bakers that, from what I've seen, that they don't have like a ton of experience. They're like these like super chefs or anything. They're just people that bake and they kind of put them together. I also, the other cool thing I like too is the end of some of the seasons, they do kind of like a Where Are They Now thing where they all, yeah, and you see that they're all friends and they get together at each other's houses. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I like seeing that stuff. Like, it's not just about winners and losers. It's like, you know, these people are competing, but they're also friendly. And it's just, I don't know. It's a more comforting show than I had anticipated.
You know, they're not competing for any money.
Yeah.
The only thing they get is that cake stand.
Exactly. But see that, but I like that. I mean, it's not, it's just, it's fun competition. Yeah. It's not competition that's like, I feel like some of the U.S. shows can be mean sometimes. So this is a very different pace. Yeah, we'll start with Kelly. What are shows, movies, whatever that you have watched or are watching that you probably wouldn't have otherwise?
Well, it's funny that you brought up, I call it Bake Off because its British name is the Great British Bake Off. But Pillsbury has a trademark on the word Bake Off in the United States. So that's why it has to be called the Great British Baking Show here. But it's funny that you bring it up because one of the things I also really love about it, and I've watched other British reality programs and I like them better, is that they're significantly less produced than most American reality television. So, you know, you think of watching like Chopped, which like I really liked, but like there's so much music and it's like da 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 da, and the host is like, you know, call each other out, be mean to each other right now, like who's gonna win, like, you know, and they make these like fake mean faces because they're like listening to producers off camera and various things. And there's the thing where they're like, oh, here's what's coming up after the commercial break, don't turn off your TV, we promise. Like, there are really good American reality shows, but sometimes they are so overproduced and like dumbed down that they're really frustrating to watch. But that did not stop me from watching Netflix's The Final Table, which is like their which is like their Iron Chef, where it's just like really, really, really good Michelin star chefs competing in like an arena. Their twist is like that there are more global chefs and, it's like the travel from country to country. So like, oh, this is Mexico. So you have to like reinvent the taco. And then like the judge is like the best Mexican chef that Netflix could find. So it's like really dumb a lot of the time. And you know, the host is like, oh, do you agree with this negative feedback you just got? And they're like, I mean, no, but, but it's fine. And it's weird. And someone used crickets once. That was interesting. Cricket tacos. That was a thing that I saw. I'm not going to taste it, but I saw it and I'm glad I saw it. But yeah, I definitely do other things while I'm watching it because it's not particularly as engaging as, say, Bake Off. And I kind of gave up on it after a few, but I probably would never have tried it. If not recommended by our podcast manager, producer, Shannon Green, who's currently on maternity leave. And I think a newborn brain is very close to quarantine brain.
It is. I can't speak for a mom, but for a dad, just any kind of parent. Yes.
Yes, I can second that 100%. Yes.
It's unlike anything else.
Yeah. So, Brian, what is something that you've watched that under normal circumstances you probably would have skipped over?
Well, actually, it's so I hate reality television. Absolutely freaking hate it. I won't watch it. But I started watching Holy Moly, this thing on Thursdays at like 8. I work on late shift. So we have dinner. I have dinner with my family. My daughter does some Animal Crossing when I go back to work about like 7:38, and then you know, I put her to bed about a half hour after that. And so, like, randomly, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, somebody may have been watching Jeopardy or something, but it was on like the channel, and then all of a sudden it was just on. And I've never thought about watching or anything, but I saw this woman in like a gown running across a bunch of porta potties, and I'm like, this is a golf game, and like she's getting like hit into a thing of water. I was like, that's pretty funny. I'm gonna watch this. And like Rob Riggle shows up, and like, and so it's just utterly stupid, but it's like fun. It's like funny. And I think, you know, there's, you know, I've been fine pretty much through this entire thing because I really don't go outside that much, so I'm pretty fine staying inside and everything. But I feel like we haven't had that many times for like actual fun and just kind of like, especially mindless fun during the last few months. And like, this is this like hour of like weird mini golf American Gladiator shenanigans is kind of like a nice little break from like work and like stupid streaming movies and everything else that's kind of like, that's part of my world. So I don't think I'd ever watch it normally, but kind of like it's a nice little, you know, quote unquote escape.
I love Holy Bully. It's amazing. Steph Curry also occasionally shows up, and it's just, oh gosh, it's so silly. It's just like Wipeout plus mini golf.
There's like a mini golf thing where it's Uranus, and like there's a one of the little holes. It's like has a big ring, and like they gotta like put the ball around the ring, and the guys keep saying Uranus like every 5 seconds, and like Uranus is never not funny. You know, you really turn into like a 6 year old when, you know, when they just say, you know, things are going in Uranus all the time. See, it's just like my daughter doesn't find it funny at all, but like, you know, everybody else, you know, both me and my wife, it's just like ha 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 every time they say it.
My daughter discovered this joke a year ago, and so now I know if she watched Holy Moly, she'd be all over this. So this is very good.
Yeah.
Also, it's also funny seeing Kelly light up between Great British Baking Show and then Holy Moly. Like, I think if we started mentioning Fleabag and Buffy, she'd be like beside herself.
Yeah, her head would explode.
I mean, yeah, I also probably think, like, in conversation, the things that can make me happy, that bar is way lower, too. It's the best thing that's happened all day. You guys talking about TV, I like.
Nothing tops talking about Uranus, so.
Balls and Uranus, yes.
Wow. So the other element of this quarantine has been, you know, we have a lot of extra time. So this is also a good opportunity to kind of dig into that backlog of games or TV shows or movies or things that you've been meaning to get to. And now that you finally have the time, you can finally dig in. So Brian, have you made any dents in that entertainment bucket list?
Not really. So again, there's a lot of movies that are being streamed, so I'm not going back and seeing like a bunch of, you know, classics or anything. I really haven't binged any TV. Like, the only thing really TV we watch is like, we'll watch like Perry Mason, I'll Be Gone in the Dark on Sundays, but that's pretty much the main things we'll watch TV wise. But I've tried to like catch up on some of my comic book reading because I haven't done a lot of that in like the last few years. So I'm trying to catch up on some comic book reading digitally and everything. And there's like a crap ton of books that I need to read. So I feel like I'm more catching up on my reading and putting together Lego sets more so than like, you know, making sure, checking boxes on my like film and TV bucket list.
What's the last Lego set you worked on? or are working on.
I did like a double feature of like the Wonder Woman 1984 set, where there's just like it's like a little radar tower and Wonder Woman and Cheetah and Maxwell Lord and Avengers tank truck takedown or something with like a couple AIM agents and like Ultimate Universe Hawkeye and Cap. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Kelly, what about you? What, have you knocked off anything on your entertainment bucket list?
I mean, like, I'm still watching Supernatural, which is, like, you know, I'm still going. Season 10.
Never ends.
Never ends. Although I still think I'm probably going to get to the end before they're able to film the final episodes. I have been showing my husband Buffy, which has been very, very exciting for me. He's so invested, which makes me so happy. We've just gotten to season 2. We're in season 2, and Angel has just turned evil, which he didn't know about, surprisingly. He, like, knows a bunch of spoilers from it because of, like, being a person in the world, but he didn't know that one, and it was very upsetting to him. So, you know, it's exciting to see someone, like, see it for the first time, because I saw Buffy for the first time when I was, like, 13 years old, and obviously I appreciated it then, but not the way I would have if I saw it for the first time when I was an adult. So that's been fun. We also tried to watch all of the James Bond movies, but they left streaming about 2 months into quarantine, so we're stuck in the Roger Moore era, so that's less fun. I enjoyed the ones with Sean Connery and the George Lazenby one. Haven't enjoyed the other ones so much. And we watched, like, Braveheart over the 4th of July because, I don't know, it just seemed like we had the time. And I probably wouldn't have gotten to it otherwise. But, you know, it was bloody and dumb, as one expected.
So what's your husband's favorite Buffy episode so far?
I don't think he has a favorite episode so far. He's very invested in the romances. So he's a big fan of Oz, who Seth Green's character, who comes in season 2 as a love interest for Willow, played by Allison Hannigan. And he did... like the episode where Xander does a love spell and every woman in town falls in love with him, murderously in love with him.
Okay.
Have either of you seen Buffy? Are these blank faces? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've seen some Buffy. I have to get through the rest of it. I've seen some of it, and I've seen it here and there, like when it's on TV, but I've never like full blown done a full binge of it.
Yeah, I watched it when it was on TV. I haven't revisited it since, really.
Hmm.
I started a binge maybe a year or two ago, and I have to get back on that. So, but from what I watched, it was really good. Even for all the crazy like effects and stuff back then, it still felt like it held up pretty well.
If you wait a little longer, your daughter can probably watch too. I mean, it was on network television in the late 90s. It's not particularly scandalous.
No, it's worth a shot. I think I might have to add that to the list. So I have one thing that I've been meaning to watch for a while now, and I finally got around to it. I'm only one episode in, but, I finally started Watchmen. It's really, really interesting. You know, obviously the first episode, and a lot of this is out there already, but the first episode, you know, kind of has the backdrop of the, massacre in Tulsa from the 1920s. And then leads into kind of what's happening in the present day of Watchmen. It's just really fascinating. Regina King's amazing. Absolutely love her. Don Johnson is really great too. But it's just a really interesting universe. And I felt really sucked in like every second of that first episode. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the rest of this goes. I remember all the tweets when it was on and everybody, you know, I know there's a lot of like really wild stuff that happens. So I'm looking forward to all that. But that's where I'm at with Watchmen right now. It's still very early, but very much looking forward to getting back in that. Okay, listeners, it's your turn. Any dents that you've made in your entertainment bucket list, TV shows, movies, games that you've been wanting to play for the longest time and you finally got the chance? Or are there shows that you've enjoyed during quarantine that you probably wouldn't have under normal circumstances? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, Kalawls.
Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership this week, Claire Thornton and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a rating or a review. It helps other people find the pod. And also you get a shout out during the next episode. So everybody wins. If Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can also find us on Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.
Bye.